before shake, stitch, and bag? Shake, stitch, and bag. Any ideas? 412-200-5975. Take a guess. The one word that naturally comes before shake, stitch, and bag. You could also add saw to that list. Saw. 412-200-5975. Good luck, and I'll give you the correct answer in a moment. Kathy in Youngstown just got it. His name is Caravan Go and Sneakers. We were looking for the word hand, handbag, hand shake, hand stitch, and hand saw. And Sue in South Park got it. Well done, Sue, Mike, and Mars as well. Also, Pudge and Lamartine and Kathy in Youngstown, all coming up with hand. What a lot of fun that was. Please stick with us. We have a great Youth Express segment coming up. And also, you are going to enjoy the Pittsburgh Savoyards. They are here today to provide you with a preview of The Sorcerer, which will be opening later this month. Broadcasting live from historic Allegheny Square, along with Ricky Berger. This is Larry Berger, and this is the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade, Saturday mornings at WRCT Pittsburgh, WIUP FM Indiana, WMCO New Concord, KRDP Apache Junction, Goldfield Ghost Town, Phoenix, WSAJ FM Grove City, WCUC FM Clarion, WNJR Washington, and slbradio.org/radio.
All of the animals. Yeah.
In the beginning.
In the beginning. In the beginning. Long time ago.
That's. There you've got Kathy Fink and Marcy Marxer. Man gave name to all the animals. We're getting very close to having you meet some award-winning writers, and we'll do that in just a moment here at SLB. Well, we are getting ready for another Carnegie Library of Pittsburgh segment from Ralph Munn. And when I say another, I don't mean because we had one last week. I mean because we've been celebrating the honorees from the Ralph Munn Creative Writing Contest for many, many years, over 20. And in a moment, you're going to get to meet honorees that have created poetry, and will share their work with you, and you'll get to know them a little better. in just a few moments.
The Northside Chronicle joins you in supporting SLB Radio. The Northside Chronicle is a free community newspaper that provides hyper-local coverage of the people, places, and events in Pittsburgh's historic Northside neighborhoods. The October 2022 issue, available now in print and online, includes the nomination for the Northside Chronicle's annual Reader's Choice Awards for Best of Northside Small Businesses. More information and Northside stories are available at thenorthsidechronicle.com.
Well, we have three students with us for this first segment. Two are with us now, and we'll add another shortly. And let's begin by having each who are here with us, please just introduce yourself and maybe the grade you're in, and if you have any shout-outs or acknowledgments you'd like to give, this is the perfect time to do it. And why don't we start with you, Hannah?
Hi. I'm Hannah Russell. I'm a senior from Pittsburgh Science and Technology Academy. My shout out is to Assemble. They're a great organization. I participate in their Hack the Future program, and it's actually in a creative writing class we did there that I wrote my piece that I submitted.
That is fantastic. And Nina is a good friend, and the work that happens at Assemble, you just made her day by mentioning that. What neighborhood do you live in?
I live in Bloomfield, and I'm actually right by a children's hospital, so I'm very close.
Yeah, I was going to say you're able to go to Assemble pretty easily.
I walk.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And let's meet Lachey, who is on your right.
Hello, my name is Lachey. I go to Nazareth Prep, and I'm a senior, and I would like to give a shout-out to my mom. She drove me here this morning. So.
Excellent. I hope she's out there and can hear us. You're both seniors. How's the year going so far? It just got started. Oh, you two figured out you had a connection when you sat down. Can you share about that? I didn't want to butt in. I figured I would wait until we were on the air, but you've never met, but you somehow know each other.
I'm some of my friends from high school knew Lachey in middle school, correct?
Yeah.
And so we've heard about each other plenty, but we've never actually met each other, and we didn't.
Yeah. Like, my friends tell me about her all the time.
That's something.
But, like, I've never met her, and, like, I wasn't sure if that was the person. I was like, is that the Hannah from Slide Deck?
Yeah, we both squinted as you walked in, like, is that?
I'm not sure, but, like, but, yeah, it's her, so that's really cool.
See, people make the assumption all you writers must know one another, all you Ralph Munn people. But no, of course you don't. Jamie's here. Just slip on some headphones. Jamie, we're just doing introductions, so you're perfectly on time. Could you tell us your full name, where you go to school, any shout-outs? So we're sort of just getting to know one another.
Okay. My name is Jamie Ziegler. I go to Auderdice High School. And I just give a shout out to one of my teachers who like told me about this whole thing.
Excellent. Who's that?
Her name is Jacqueline LaCashman.
Fantastic. And what year are you in?
I'm in 10th grade.
So we were talking a little bit about your senior years. These are both seniors. Are you thinking about next year already? Or I know senior year can be one where you're already looking far, far ahead in terms of post-secondary or going to work, going to college. Have you any thoughts about that yet?
I've been applying to colleges already. I've gotten a couple of like acceptances and stuff, so I'm already like considering what college I want to go to because those are my like plans after high school.
Do you know what you'd like to study?
I'm stuck between two very different topics, which is either biology or creative writing, which are very conflicting, but I'm hoping to figure that out in my first like 2 years of general study.
I was like that too, and not that you're asking for advice, but there's lots of twists and turns in life where you can do just about anything you want.
Mm-hmm.
But I can remember having that kind of decision, too. What about you, Lachey?
I mean, virtually the same thing. I've been looking at colleges, and I've applied to a couple. And yeah, the plan is to go to college. And just like she said, it's really funny because I'm stuck between two different things. I want to go into bioengineering or, something, in the arts. But I don't know. I'm hoping that, by the end of this year, I'll figure it out.
I think it's quite okay.
Yeah.
Not to know. For me, for me, it was chemical engineering and English, like 50-50, and I had no idea which I wanted to do. And you can end up doing a variety of things. It's not irreversible either. Now, you're a little younger, Jamie, but are you in that, are you thinking about that stuff yet?
Yeah, I think I definitely want to go to college.
Do you know what for, maybe?
It'll probably be something either acting or writing related.
Excellent. Now, before you each share some of what you wrote, and thank you for sharing, you sent me some of your writing. Jamie, did you? I was trying to remember. Somebody sent me some writing. Must have been from our other group. Let's talk about poetry. Why poetry in terms of our own society and culture and your own life? What is it about poetry that moves you to create it? And any of you can jump in.
I think for me, a lot of the times when I write poetry, I usually go for like a more like just free form, like whatever the rhythm or pattern ends up being, I just kind of go with it. I don't really plan ahead. I like poetry because it's like you can either make it as long or as short as you want, so it gives me a lot of freedom to express whatever I'm feeling at the moment. A lot of times I'll write poetry when I need help processing something because I find it very helpful to write things. And I like doing it in, like, an artistic manner because then I can use more, like, creative language, which I feel like helps me.
Do you have anything you'd like to add, Lachey or Jamie?
Yeah, it's very similar in that when you're writing, a story or something, there has to be some sort of structure to it. And in some sense, that limits the freedom you have. But with poetry, I think that, you don't... There doesn't necessarily have to be, any structure to it. You kind of can just write from your heart, really. So, yeah, I think it helps me get my emotions out.
What do you think, Jamie?
Yeah, I think I agree with what they were both saying. Like, it's kind of easier to go with the flow and create your own structure and, like, just kind of say what you want to say.
I know it takes a lot of courage to share what you've written, and I'm sure you don't, I would imagine you don't share all of it. When entering a contest like this, is it hard to let go of what you've written, either knowing that other people, potentially quite a lot of other people, are going to take it in, or is that a good thing? I'm curious how that issue might come up, because I always think of writing as pretty personal, especially when it's poetry.
I think I don't necessarily have a big problem sharing, because I read a lot of poetry as well, and a lot of stories, books and stuff. So, and I found that, like, if other people didn't at one point decide to share their work, then I would never, get the opportunity to read it. So in some sense, it's like, help. I hope that my writing helps someone out there someday. So I guess that's the perspective I'm coming from.
That's a really great perspective. So you know that giving is important. If you are going to take in work of other people, it's important for you to be able to put forth your own work too. What about you, Jamie? Any thoughts about that?
For me, this is one of the first pieces I actually shared with anyone. And so, like, I was, like, trying to, like, ask people, like, I was trying to ask people if it was good or not and, like, should I submit it? And some people were like, maybe you should work on it more. Others were like, yeah, this is really good. So I just kind of went for it. But I think, like, after this, I'll probably, like, share more work in the future.
I'm glad to hear you say that. I am also glad you each have some work to share. We did not rehearse this. Would any of you, one of you, like to go first? Is one of you eager to do that?
I have my piece pulled up. I can go first. It's actually the poem that I submitted to the contest and everything. Do you want me to just read it?
Absolutely. And feel free to set it up if you need to. I'll remind people that you're Hannah Russell. And go right ahead.
All right. The title is LaCroix Extra Sad. If I were to be a drink, it would be LaCroix. LaCroix Extra Sad. Watering down and covering up every flavor of myself with the sting of fake facades and made-up smiles. Every story carbonated with normality to keep away from attention. I've been soda pop, bold and honest, but slowly it faded for the fear of rotting people's hearts like teeth with the oppressive punch of my emotions. I'm healthier for them now, better for their hearts, worse for mine.
Beautiful. When did you write that?
I wrote that probably, I think it was sometime earlier this year, which was definitely a bit of a rougher time in my life. I would say a lot of this is like more past feelings that I've like been able to work through. But yeah, it was probably like early in the year when I was going through a bit of a hard time.
Thank you for sharing that. It's now either Jamie or Lachey. Jamie, you want to go?
Sure.
Okay.
Okay, my poem was called Sugar Pop. I've lost my mind, I think to myself, as excruciating popping noises continue to fill the rooms with despair. The thickening air challenges the thin walls of the school, of this building. It wouldn't be the first battle it's faced. The popping gets louder, closer. I look around at the faces surrounding me, the look of genuine fear, the anxiety seeping off of these lucid bodies, spreading in between the floorboards, evaporating into the air, the same air we breathe. It soaks into the lights that then radiate onto our depleted bodies, the bodies that are beaten, privileged, oppressed. We are all now the same. I can taste my sweet, sweet tears as the popping edges towards the door, the one thing shielding us from the inevitable. Pop, 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 it goes silent. The floorboards creak. They creak so slowly I start to question if it's actually happening. Bam, the door flies open. Tears stream down my face, comforting me with the warmth I've always longed for. The feeling of safety. The waves conceal me, covering me like a large blanket. They come crashing. What was once salty is now sweet. What happened to the popping noises? I open my eyes full of curiosity, ready for my turn. I scan the room, and that's when I saw them. The bodies, so many bodies, no longer leaking anxiety, no longer feeling death. For that's what they've become. I then look up, right in front of me, and there it is. The red balloon. It goes up to the dead center of my forehead. I close my eyes for a final time, and that's when I realize it's impossible to lose your mind when it never truly belonged.
Wow. When did you write that?
I wrote it a little like earlier in the year when there were more school shootings on the rise and stuff.
I immediately thought of the shootings on the north side and the East Allegheny neighborhood on the north side at the house party Easter weekend. And I really liked the imagery. And if I'm not mistaken, you sort of combined both dreams and imagination with reality, which is there's a long tradition for doing that. That was really, really well done.
Thank you.
And Lachey, you've got one to share as well.
Yeah. So this is called Brown Mother. I wrote it for my mom. So my mother, brown and round, hair gray and short, whose back was broken for mine and dark knees wobble. Under the star-filled sky, black and blue with tomorrow's blueprint, your tears wash my feet and laughter treats my ear long for. Seldom do your teeth burst out of your mouth, head thrown back, and joy remedy your eyes. Is it I, brown and square, with hair dark and long, whose back stands because yours was broken and knees cracked, for mine to bear the world on my shoulders? The root? My mother, vanquished with pain, pain wrapped with guilt, a perfect gift, with a bow of nightly tears, my feet clean and strong with gratitude. I hear the sulks of your heart when the sun goes to sleep, the worry of your voice when I hurt. I see the agony of your face. Your face hides as the days dance along. My mother, dear and lovely, though I learned to fly with shriveled wings, stitched on me from your fractured ones, gentle and loved, one day I'll sprout and flourish. I'll clean your tears with mine. I'll mend your broken heart with stitches of gold. I'll fix your wings so hope becomes your name and joy your duly anthem.
Amazing. When did you share that with your mother?
I haven't.
So she's hearing it for the first time today, most likely.
Probably. She listens to this.
I hope she does. That was beautiful. Was there an instant that prompted you to write that?
I think not really. My mom is just some of my closest friends. You know, I love her so much. So I figured if I was going to write a poem, I should dedicate it to her.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that was Lachey. It's Dainey?
Dainey.
Dainey?
Yeah.
Lachey, thank you. We have a couple more minutes. Is there anything any of you would like to say or add? I'm going to ask you one more question, too, but is there anything I didn't give you room to talk about that you wanted to say?
Can I shout out one person?
Of course.
This is for Miss Smallwood. If you're listening, you know, shout out to you.
Would her first name begin with the letter D?
Miss Deborah Smallwood.
Yes, I know Deborah, and she's one. We're one big village. Deborah is a great human being. Anybody else want to add anything?
I'll also like to shout out a specific person from Assemble. Evelyn, one of my teaching artists. She's helped me through like a lot. She helped me write this, and I think she helped me become more of like a confident person and like more confident in who I was. So shout out to her. She's awesome, and I'm really glad she was one of my teaching artists.
Excellent. Jamie?
I guess I'll just like give a shout out to I'll give a shout out to like just like everyone in my family who is like supportive in this.
Beautiful. Here's my last question, just for fun. I'm going to give you a magic wand. 1, 2, 3. And you get to change one thing in the world. Could be big, could be small, simple. And it's a spot decision, so it's not like you're going to have to stick with it forever or overthink it. But if you could change one thing, anything, any ideas what that would be?
Jumping a hard question on us there.
Yeah,
gotta think about this one.
It's tough.
I'll go with something very unoriginal. I'll solve world hunger if I could.
It's not unoriginal at all. In fact, I thought of about 5, and that was not one of the ones I would have thought of, and I should have, actually. Anybody else?
I'm slightly cheating because I can't pick between two, but
you can take
I would
two.
Either probably, this sounds very vague, but like fix some of the economical issues of the entire world, just like everywhere, not just like America, just everywhere, so like everyone has more stability, or I would solve climate issues, like climate change problems, animal and plant extinctions, and that kind of thing.
Excellent. And Jamie, do you?
Yeah. I think I would just, like, change the way everyone views each other and judges each other. Like, we can all see each other as equals and, like, help build connections.
Those are all 4 great answers. See, what happened was Hannah first used her wand to get 2 options.
There was no rules, guys. I said, give me more.
That's the idea. There aren't any. Thank you, all of you, for being here today. It it's just really tremendous to have you here. And I hope you'll come back sometime, too. Thanks. You're listening to the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade Saturday Mornings from SLB Radio Productions.
Mariposa, poor fluttering thing, where's the sweetness to strengthen your wing? You have lost all your workaday world. It's so strange now your wings have unfurled. Fly higher, still higher, it's all so different somehow. Try higher, still higher, until you see Mariposa. The things that you need are no longer the leaf and the seed. Lift your lips up, rejoice in this hour. You were made for the heart of the flower. So different somehow. Try higher, still higher, until you see Mariposa. The things that you need are no longer the leaf and the seed. Lift your lips up, rejoice in this hour. You were made for the heart of the flower. Thank you.
Miles Davis in the background playing. And what a day. We have the Pittsburgh's Voyards coming up. There are probably 50 folks or so in our youth media center, which also doubles as a large studio here Saturday mornings. They'll be with us in our next hour. And in just a few moments, in fact, we're ready now. We're going to give you a chance to meet our next group of writers. They all have something in common, and that is that they were all honored by Carnegie Library of Pittsburgh's Ralph Munn Creative Writing Awards for prose. And we're going to meet everybody who's here first, and then afterwards they'll share a work or an excerpt of a work. And Mia, why don't we start with you?
Yeah, my name is Mia. I'm a graduate. I just graduated in August, I want to say, from City Charter High School. I now go to Pitt. I'm a psych major, but I'm switching over to mainly art just because I find it more interesting. And yeah, that's probably the best I could give you.
That's great. It, fine art or?
Yeah, probably fine art. I like to draw a lot, and I'll probably do like a creative writing as like my minor or something. It's kind of funny. I did put in my art for the Ralph Munn or like for Carnegie Mellon, but I didn't actually get in for that. And I got in for like my second, which would be like creative writing, which I thought was kind of funny. It's like my thing.
That's interesting. That happens
sometimes.
By the way, as we meet you, if there's anybody you would like to acknowledge or give a shout out to, please, this is a good time to do it.
I think my Nana's watching, so maybe my Nana might be on there.
Excellent. Hi, Nana. does she have a pet or anything?
A pet? I think she has a cat.
I just want to be sure that she knows she's the specific Nana.
Yes, Kathy Simonello.
Nana. Oh, there we go. Perfect. Let's go to Kay next. Hi, Kay.
Hi, my name is Kay. I am in 12th grade at North Allegheny Senior High. I'm currently struggling through college apps right now, but I think I'm also planning to apply for a psych major, as well as like maybe minoring in creative writing, but I'm not sure. In my free time, I really enjoy like reading and writing poetry, as well as obviously writing prose as well. So, yeah.
Excellent. Any shout-outs or acknowledgments?
I think I want to shout out all of my friends who helped me through the process of creative writing. They mean a lot to me. So I don't know if anyone's watching this, but like, hello.
They are. If not now, they will be later. A quick question. I'm fascinated that you both chose psychology, you initially, you now. Did anything in particular lead you to that?
Maybe Criminal Minds, the TV show.
Really?
Or like, I don't know, something like that. I just find the brain really interesting.
Me
so
too.
I just kind of went into that, and then I went to school and I was like, maybe art.
and that's why I'm asking, because I'm fascinated by that too, and I was curious. It's not, if I had known you could study that when I was in high school, I might have gone that way. I just didn't have much awareness of it. Same for you, Kay?
Yeah, you know, I've also really been fascinated by the brain. And I guess, like, in my creative writing, I really like to explore lots of, like, I guess the roots of our thoughts and emotions and, like, desires and stuff. And that really translated well with, like, my scientific curiosity and also. So it's just kind of, like, something that kind of blended the two, I guess.
Interesting. Really cool. Well, let's meet Avery next. And Avery, it gets easier as we go on. You know the drill.
Yeah.
So let's meet you.
I'm Avery. I'm a junior at Penn Hills High. Shout out to Penn Hills. There's not a lot of writers that come out of there. I'd like to shout out my mom. She's in the other studio. Friends, family, and my sophomore English teacher, Miss Balance. She's the one that really pushed me to submit my writing.
That's terrific. You say there aren't many writers there. Do you feel do you have some kindred spirits when it comes to really loving to write?
Not really. It's not arts in my school isn't really a huge thing, but it is definitely a moving force in the thing, especially not so much writing stories and proses, but music and all that stuff.
Yeah, it's sometimes, and it could even be in particular classes, not class years, where sometimes there's a stronger group of people interested in music or the arts than there are in other graduation years. But I'm glad you're flourishing and writing. We're finally going to meet Everest, who is here. Hi.
Hi. I'm Everest. I'm a junior at Quaker Valley High School. I write music. I play the guitar. I write a lot of music. I actually wrote a musical last year, and I actually got to put it on at my high school, which was very exciting.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
What was it called?
It's called The Canary in the Coal Mine. It's actually on my YouTube channel at Everest Gray. But, yeah, I did a musical, and
That's yeah. I don't know if I've ever met anybody that wrote a musical.
It was a really,
scratch.
Really good experience, yeah. But I'd like to say hi to my grandma who's listening right now, Gigi, and also my mom who's in the other room right now taking pictures, and my creative writing teacher from last year who I wrote this short story in her class, Miss Marisha.
Say her name again?
Miss Marisha.
Thank you. Before you share your stories, a quick sort of around the circle here. Why writing? Why does writing matter? What role does it play in your own life? Not so much from, you know, the ability to turn in a homework assignment, but just the act of writing. Any thoughts about that?
Sorry. Personally,
you're good.
Personally, I just like putting my thoughts down on paper, I feel like. I like listening to songs and then like kind of writing through the emotion of what the song gave me, I guess. Like for my characters that I wrote about, I have like these certain characters that I just use as like filler characters. And then I just kind of use them as like names to like put down emotions and stuff. So I feel like to me, it's just kind of, I guess, therapeutic in a certain way.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I was going to say writing is like very much a form of art. So like every other form of art, you know, like people do music, people do visual art, people do stuff like dance. It's just all a form of like self-expression. So if I have any like frustrations or like very, very strong emotions, it's able to like it's very good to just be able to like transfer that onto the page as kind of like a conduit for the things I'm feeling.
Yeah, kind of the exact same thing, exactly what Mia was saying. I listen to my music and I'm like, wow, I could, you know, make something out of this, make a story, tell a story, and just kind of let all the emotions out into characters, just into people, you know?
Interesting to think about music inspiring you. And Everest, I know at least in one case, you were inspired to create music, but talk a little bit about this subject from your perspective.
Yeah, I mean, I love, like, just writing in general, so I write a lot of music, and I love writing lyrics, and I really enjoy making pretty sentences and pretty writings and, like, things that are meaningful just in any sort of way, like in my lyrics and in my writing. I like reading it and saying, like, wow, that means something.
By a pretty sentence, can you explain what you mean? I think I know, but I want to be sure.
I mean, just like...
Do you mean like an efficient, elegant sentence? Not necessarily flowery, but one that it might be its rhythm or...
Okay. Yes, exactly. Thank you for understanding what I was trying to get across.
I wanted to be sure I did, because it's really fun when that happens, and it usually takes lots and lots of... Redrafting.
Yeah, it's a nice, right? Like, oh my God, it just, everything just clicks together.
Yeah, it's not easy to do. And I'm sure all of you, I mean, I will often write and then I will strike out pretty much every other word and then I'll read it again and do that again. And it's incredible when you can boil it down to something that's just what you wanted. Well, we have time now. We're going to move to having you each share something. And I don't know if anyone would like to go first. I also don't want to make it awkward, but was anyone eager to go first?
I mean, I can go first if no one else is. If anyone else is, like, wanting
to. No, go ahead. You get it over with.
Well, so please, Mia, you can explain anything you need to. The stage is yours.
Yeah. So my piece is about two people who are going through the stages of loving each other, I guess. For my little piece that I put together, I took the writing that I had and I had to cut, like, a little piece out. So it's kind of – it is, like, the part of the story. I just had to cut it a little shorter so it wouldn't, like, go way too long. But I'll just start in a second. When I would ask TK what it was like to love my brother, he would always look at me with an eyebrow raised and say something like, "It's a piece of work. That's what it is." Then he would break out in a loud laugh while Rome punched him in the arm. Once, though, it was so late. It was the next day. We were sitting on the roof of his van. Everyone had fallen asleep already, but it was such a bright night, the moon like a spotlight. I couldn't sleep. I asked him what it was like to love Rome, and he said it was as if you're pulling someone onto the dance floor with the most annoying, catchy song blaring in the background, but dancing as if you've never heard the song before. He said he would tell Rome one day, maybe pull him out to dance, one day when it didn't feel weird and didn't make his face red. One day when the time was right, maybe under the stars like that night, he would tell him. It was super sappy and gross, so we sat in silence watching the stars after. I didn't hear TK ever say something like that to Rome until 2 years later when they were toasting their marriage, surrounded by white flowers on a dark tablecloth like the stars of the night. It's basically from the perspective of Rome, who's one of the, like, lovers, I guess, in the story's sister. And then she's telling the story about how her brother and this guy, Rome, TK, fell in love through their, like, years of knowing each other, like, being neighbors and just, like, falling in love and then later getting married. So, yeah.
Is the first sentence of your story the one you started with?
No, actually, that's kind of actually the end of the story. The beginning is, like, a little, like, quote that I, like, wrote, and it's just about how everyone says that love is like a partnership or like a dancing routine. So then throughout the story, it's Rome saying how he feels about being in love with TK, and then it's TK and how he explained how he is in love with Rome. So it's like Rome, it says it in like a, oh, it's like cherries on a sundae, or like, and then TK is like, it's like riding a skateboard or like something like that. So I just kind of like wrote it that way, I guess.
I just like the beginning. What's it like to love TK? I think it was your first sentence, because that could be applied to any relationship. In fact, my first thought was it was a brother or sister talking about another sibling.
Yeah.
That was beautifully done and a really courageous. Anytime writing is shared, original writing is shared, I think it takes a lot of courage.
Yeah, I was literally sitting in the car, like, reading it over, being like, oh, my God. Like, I was, like, last night, I was, like, at, like, midnight, I was, like, reading it over again, just being like, okay, this is what I'm going to read. I need to, like, memorize it so I don't mess it up.
Oh, you did great. That was Mia Sanford. Who next? Do you want to just go right down? So, okay, we're going to go from left to right on your radio dial. So this is Kay. Is me? Is
yeah,
it?
Yeah,
Kay, me. From North Allegheny Senior High.
Right. Just before I say, I just wanted to say, Mia, your like imagery and your detail was like so good. I was like, dang.
Thank you.
The specifics were so nice. I was like, yeah.
I should have given everybody that opportunity. Anybody else have any reactions they might want to share?
No, I like it. I like the imagery. It was really good.
Yeah, it's very powerful.
Yeah, it's like really personal. So I just like really felt the characters even in the short snippet. Anyways, just wanted to say.
Thank you.
So my story that I submitted is called After Image. And it's basically about this girl named Araline who runs away from home and travels to this garden where she meets this creature who's called Desire and is the personification of desire in the form of another girl. So basically throughout the day, she kind of puts into images like Araline's kind of dreams of basically living a life and carrying out a romance with another girl. So I guess I'll start reading. Desire leans forward, reaching up to curl a strand of her hair behind her ear. "Watch," she whispers. "There is no need to be afraid." The water is hypnotizing, twisting time with its rippling figures. Araline turns toward Desire, whose eyes shine silver. Haunting, she thinks. So different from the dullness of the people in her village, those so repulsed by the flickering girl who hates the idea of loving a boy. Watch. She casts her gaze toward the water, the reflection of two girls with flowers at their feet and stars in their eyes, and suddenly the picture is warping, shifting, falling away under the sun. "This is your future," Desire whispers. "Keep your eyes open, Araline, and look." She looks. Moments like this can only be created in dreams. The scent of rain lays heavy on her lover's skin, her hair like down feathers beneath her fingers. Their hands are wrinkled, and the corners of their eyes are creased from years of laughter. Age has been kind. See. In their youth, they ran to hidden scenes, sunset-stained streets and ancient oaks and wild earth, marking them as places of their own. Now they recall them with peace. They've kept all their promises unbroken, bliss locked in the dandelions beneath their feet and the roses they've woven into crowns. "Swear to me that you will always remember," Desire says, "that you can live in a world without the pain of silence." There is nothing that fills her heart more than this. "How?" Araline whispers. "Here is time," the girl says. "We do not have to steal these years to be together. Here is time." "Time. I want this to be endless," Araline says. "Please, make it last. Time." Desire smiles and takes her hands.
Beautifully, not only written, but you read that really well.
Thank you.
Do you like to, like, do spoken word out loud, or?
Yeah, so I read a lot of my poetry and other people's poetry out loud. I do speech and debate in my school, so I think public speaking helps. And last year, I went to the national tournament with spoken word poetry, and it was like a really good experience.
It shows.
So thank you. It's nice.
You know, we haven't announced it yet, I don't think, but we're going to do a spoken word night out here, and we'd love to have you join us if interested. A big goal of our space out here is to make it neutral, so to speak. So you can have people from all backgrounds, all neighborhoods, just come together and kind of have a neat different styles too, as well as different neighborhoods. Anybody have any comments for Kay?
Yeah, like an audiobook voice. Like, it's so thank you soothing. So much. I'm like, wow.
Thank you.
It felt very, like, intimate. It was very nice.
Yeah, it really did.
Yeah, that was, like, honestly, like, crazy. Like, I don't know.
Thank
you
so much.
Like, we were, like, out there, and you were saying how you were, like, kind of nervous about it. And, like, it, like, did not show at all. Like,
thank
that was,
you.
Like, so, like, that. I don't know. That felt like an audiobook or something. Like, I was listening to it, and I was like, oh, dang. I was like, oh, okay. You think mine's good?
Rippling reflections.
No, literally. I was like, oh, my God. Yeah, I'm standing right there. I can see it.
Thank you. Oh, my God. I appreciate that.
Yeah, it's just great. Well, now we're going to get to go to Avery. And
there's not much to say. Well, this is an excerpt from, obviously, the writing that I submitted, which is actually a chapter from the book I'm trying to write. It's about kind of this guy named Tom. He essentially gets just dropped in the middle of rural Pennsylvania to this family with this guy named John. They end up, you know, falling in love, kind of thing, heartbreak, star-crossed lovers, not meant to be, that whole kind of thing. But it kind of goes through all of the family and like how him just being there kind of, you know, touches everybody, how even a passing stranger can really affect you in your life.
What a great premise for a book. Really interesting, especially just sort of finding yourself somewhere and having to figure it all out, as you said, literally and figuratively. So, please, whenever you're ready.
All right. Go get Ma. The man spoke again, never breaking eye contact with Tom as he stared down the gun's barrel. Ralph stood up quickly with his bat, anxiously watching Tom as he backed towards the exit, like if he stopped looking, Tom might grow into the boogeyman and eat him. He watched as the kid reached behind himself and turned the doorknob with one hand, though with slight difficulty, and left the room. So there he was, beaten up, handcuffed to a bed in a way he didn't like, tired, hungry, and with a dirty old hunting rifle leveled at his face. He wasn't going anywhere, so he figured he might as well just keep looking at what he could. Tom looked at the man, who only had to be a year or two younger than he was. The guy was built stocky with sturdy shoulders, like any farm boy would be. His eyes were burning holes in Tom's head, but they were a nice shade of cornflower. Their shine was darkened by thick brows crunched into a scowl. Tom bet if he didn't look so angry, they would actually be quite beautiful.
The glow of the lamp, which was now dimmed in contrast to how it blinded Tom earlier, glinted on the cerulean shadows of the man's iris. His hair was still hard to grasp. It was longer and brushed against the man's cheekbones and neck, like a greaser's hair, except without any product. The color was indecipherable. Was it blonde? Brown? Tom couldn't tell. The closest color he could think of was flood water, murky and brown with gold streaks flashing in the light. Tom snapped from his frustrating task of matching a color by the sound of floorboards creaking and a flood of voices. It sounded like two women, one younger than the other, but both pestering the voice whom Tom could only assume was Raph. Just as Tom was starting to focus on what they were saying, the door busted open. In the doorway stood a frazzled-looking woman in her nightdress and carrying a bag by her side. Behind the older woman stood a younger lady, perhaps just settling into her 20s, who was carrying a plate and glass of water, and bringing up the rear was Raph. Tom's belly ached a little as he smelled the ham and cheese sandwich from where he was on the bed. His stomach gave a loud gurgle as all three further into the room, the older coming to sit by the bed, the younger moving to set the food on the vanity, and Raph standing in the spot where he had previously been sleeping. The man was still aiming at Tom's head, but his stare now flitted between the woman with her bag on the bed's edge and Tom. With a hard sigh, the woman on the bed stuck her hand out and pushed the rifle's barrel to the ground.
Wow. What a picture you painted.
Thank you.
Any comments?
Yeah, I was going to say that's like such, like, I was going to ask how long you had been writing, like, your book. Like, how long did you, like, start or?
Well, I initially started it back in, like, eighth grade, but the motive of the whole book has shifted over those couple of years. So I finally decided, you know, settle on what I explained earlier. Whole kind of just dropping into their lap and changing their lives kind of thing.
Yeah, that's crazy. It sounds like it's a book. Like, it sounds like it's like something that I would pick up at the library and like scroll to like a random page and be like, oh yeah, I'll read this one. Like, the way you read it too sounded very like an author reading a part of their book. Like, I don't know how else to really explain it, but it sounded very like, I guess, formal, but like in like a very like author-y way.
I don't even know what to say.
I was really going to agree with that. I was like, I don't know how to say it, but like, you sound so at home with your own writing style, and it's something I'm like honestly really jealous about because I struggle with that a little bit. And I just like, I kept thinking about like the specificity of like the descriptions you did, and like when you described his eyes like floodwater, I was like, oh, whoa. I was like, so I just really like, I thought the concept was, like, also super cool. I didn't get to say it before. But, yeah, just, like, the way you're writing, the way you're reading, it's, like, I just love the voice so much.
Thank you. That's, I don't even know what to say. Giggling. Ooh.
When do you think you might finish your book?
Well, maybe by next year or the year after that. I'm kind of getting it all together. Yeah. I have all the ideas. I just need to, you know.
Let us know when you're a published author. We're gonna buy like 20 copies of your book.
Yeah. It takes a lot.
Send me your email. I'll get it to you.
It takes a lot of patience. It's got to take tons of patience. Well, we're gonna have Everest finish up.
All right. I'm just gonna start from the beginning. This is my story called "The Boy." Right. There is fire. Oh, so much fire. He is not in his own eyes. The boy is, instead, in the eagle, soaring above, just low enough to feel the smoke through her feathers. He is in the grass, singed and covered in ash, feeling the warmth on his cheeks. He is in the walls, collapsing under the exposed rot and dissipating promise as they slowly burn away to nothingness. He is in the basement, pipe still dripping, without even a hint of what is lost. He himself is the fire, dragging everything into oblivion. Generations old and new in paintings on the wall, cobwebs in forgotten corners, rust under the sinks and basin, and a handcrafted crib to never be used. All will soon be forgotten as it drifts away in the growing flames, in the rising smoke, into dust. In the valley there is fire. Oh, so much fire. He is not in his own eyes. He cannot bear to see through them. He can only register the pounding of hooves, rushing men on horseback to salvage what is left, the commands thrown back and forth, who will fill the water, who will pour. People running, running out, running in. Over everything is the ringing in his ears, a film of blur in his eyes that won't seem to go away. Are you all right, he has asked. He cannot begin to answer. Are you all right, she asks again. He does not recognize her voice. He cannot hear her clearly. He does not hear through his ears. He can only hear through the eagle, too far to register, the grass, muffled in dust, the walls, surrounded by the hissing of fire, the basement, with its steady drip, drip, drip. He lived there at Brooksville House for 17 long years, raised to be the best man he could by his grandmother. He couldn't ask for a better upbringing. His parents were killed only weeks after his birth in a fire at Brooksville House. ironic now. The house was strong, as Grandma said. It was full of enough heart to never fall. His family lived there for centuries, expanding the house and leaving new memories with each generation. Miraculously, the fire that killed his parents was contained only to their bedroom. A candle fell in the night, and the fire was out by morning. It never spread. Otherwise, there wasn't a scratch. The bedroom was never rebuilt. It pains him now that the fire originated from the very same room.
Wow. Beautifully read, and it's just pretty stunning. It's for a lot of reasons,
it's so much of the emotion that, frankly, it's how I would have read it, like, the speed and just, like, the way that there's just so much happening, the best way possible that I've read it that way,
like, freaking out, like, and then the way you read it just made it, like, match that
Describe, like, when you're in that kind of situation, you're everything but yourself. You're up there, you're over there. You're just not with it, but you are.
That was... Yes, I wish... I felt that, but didn't know how to express that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, just trying to get across. Thank you.
I'm kind of going insane with your repetition. Like, the beginning starting with, like, E, and just, like, the way you read it, and just, like, the rhythm, I guess, of the passage was insane.
Yeah, I've very much so definitely, in my writing, try to have that rhythm, that, like, beat, like, sort of, that comes with, like, sort of, you know, I write music, and it's, like, the same sort of thing.
I was going to say, it makes complete sense that you wrote a musical sound. It all makes sense. Yeah.
And we got to hear a lot.
You know what, for fun, shout out to Hannah over in Ireland. I'll probably send her a clip of this.
Okay, Hannah. Shout out to you.
Shout out to Hannah.
She might be.
We're on international channels.
We'll tell you more about it. There you've got another round of Ralph Lund honorees to the Ralph Lund website. You can read more from them and learn more about them. Broadcasting live from historic Allegheny Square, along with a lot